Red Film Radio, Festival de Cannes.
For Red Film Radio, I'm Matt McCucci from the 67th edition of the Cannes Film Festival, joined by actor Josh Charles, who stars in Pascal Ferrand's latest work, Bird People, presented in the Un Certain Regard section. Josh, the character you play decides to abandon his family and work and take flight. A very intense role in a very intense film at a very intense festival. And you yourself must be having a very intense festival too.
I am, yeah, it is. I mean, just because of how fast and furious everything is, you know, we got to, my wife and I flew to Paris on Friday. I finally saw the film for the first time myself Saturday in Paris. I hadn't seen it, and I made the film 2 years ago. Mm. So I finally got to experience it in a very, like, quiet theater with just my wife and I and one of the ADs. Mm. And then last night, to see it in front of an audience was really exciting and doing a lot of press and a lot of talking, but it was great to just be able to sit in a theater and experience the film with 1,000 people. And I'm looking forward tonight to seeing another movie and just sort of...
Did you like it? Did you like the way it was?
Yeah, I liked it even more the second time. I think the biggest compliment I can pay the film is it's unlike anything I've ever seen.
Absolutely.
It's absolutely unique, and I admire that deeply. So I'm very proud to be a part of something like that. I had talked a lot with Pascal about it, and I knew that the post-production process was very long on the film, of the editing. What I find most remarkable about it is, and this is a compliment, is I don't see the special effects, which is incredible. And they're there, but they're very well hidden in a film like this where you don't want to see them, and you don't. So it seems like, well, why did that take so long? Well, because it's a lot of real stuff mixed in with some trickery that is done very sleight of hand and very subtle. And I'm very impressed with that because it still gives it a very organic feel.
So take us through the beginning of this old project for you. How did you come across it, first of all? And how did you?
I was sent the script and told that there's a French filmmaker named Pascal Ferrand who was interested in you for her new film. And I was immediately completely flattered and filled with gratitude and feeling so touched. That's never happened to me before. You know, I've never had a European or filmmaker from outside the U.S. sort of come after me for a film or be interested in me. So I was very, as I said, touched and flattered, and also sort of a bit curious as to how did that happen? How does she know me? You know, this is feeling that you feel like no one knows who you are or knows your work. But I read the script, was really taken by it, how different it was. I found it very moving. I then watched Lady Chatterley and was just struck by what a gifted filmmaker she was, and was really intrigued and looked forward to meeting her. And she flew to New York and we had a lovely meeting, and I knew right then I wanted to make the movie with her, and I wanted to be a part of this journey of making this film, of helping her, you know, see it come to life. And so then we rehearsed a little bit we rehearsed a little bit in the fall 2 years ago. She came to New York for a week and we rehearsed and discussed about the script and rehearsed our scenes and went through everything, and then I came out in the spring and we filmed it. So it wasn't until I think somewhere during the rehearsal where we were having lunch with one day at her and I and the AD and she said, you know, are you aware, you know, how I came about, you know, asking you to do this film? And I said, honestly, I'm really not, and I've been too shy to ask you, you know. And it's sort of, I am very curious as to, like, did the casting director suggest me, or, you know, what how did you? And she said, no, you know, it's funny. She said, I saw you on a show that you had done called In Treatment, which was this HBO series I had done for the first season of, this a remake of an Israeli show. And and she said, I was really struck by your performance in that, and you kind of stayed in my brain and was working on the script or, you know, and early in the film. And then when we started casting it, you just sort of stayed in my brain and discussed with the American casting director. It was a whole list of tons of names of which you weren't on, and famous people and different ideas. I kept thinking about you, and I didn't feel like anyone was really I couldn't get you out of my brain, and I suggested you and a few other people as possibilities to the cast director, and she was very receptive to the idea of you. And so knowing that then the idea did come from her, from Pascal, what made me even just, you know, filled with even more gratitude.
Wow.
And was very deeply touched by it, and knew that I had to make this movie, and I knew that it was, you know, it was, things happen at different times for you. I think I'm a strong believer in that they work out when they're meant to work out, and I feel like at this time, you know, a few years ago, I was really hungry, being very blessed and grateful to have like a steady work on a television show, but it's also a show that works for a very long time during the year. You work 9+ months out of a year, so you're not afforded the luxury of doing a lot of other work. It really is your full-time gig. So the fact that this came up and we were able to fit it into the break between season 3 and season 4 of the show, to work with a director of her caliber on such a daring and unique and sort of peculiar film, and to make it in a foreign country and foreign language with a different crew that doesn't speak English, was all very daunting and scary, but I just dove right into it. I was so into the challenge and felt like it would be, you know, a really kind of creatively kind of deepening experience, and it was all that. So
yeah, you're right. I mean, because from the film, it almost feels like it would have been almost a path of self-discovery that you went through in the character. And apart from like Pascal Ferrand obviously being a very established art house filmmaker, it would be a privilege for any actor to work for. What else was it in the script that spoke to you particularly?
I think what I found very compelling about the script was the duality in it. You know, that well, first of all, that you know, you had some the hybrid quality of the script, that you have like a very realistic part that's grounded in, and then you have this very poetic imaginary part, and that they're both telling a very similar, the same story, and that I was struck by reading the script how very little dialogue there actually is in the script. Yeah. And the dialogue that is there is dialogue that's very specifically half heard, half translated, redacted through technology, like, you know, a phone or a cellular phone or Skype. So this whole level of connectivity, I found that fascinating on an interpersonal level, on a sort of global level, that like any great sort of piece of material that has different layers to it, that this film spoke to me on those layers. That it was a film that very much was about, you know, our solitude and loneliness today in a culture that's sort of expanding and rapidly sort of accelerating, and how connected we all are with the new technology, yet somehow it leaves us not connecting properly. Mm-hmm. And I found that really compelling. I found the idea and the motif of a network, which seems very clear in the film, networks of people and crowds sort of merging and then individuals separating. Those images painted pictures for me of you know, that really paralleled what happens with you know, later on in the film, in the more imaginary part. I found that very connected. And also that while I appreciated the film, I like the fact that it didn't try to over-explain things. It didn't try to over-explain Gary's background. It didn't try to exaggerate the world that Gary is in, or what he's sort of, you know, rebelling against and changing course. It didn't exaggerate his work or what his issues with work or his family. It's things that people go through every day, yet for some reason at this point in time in his life, he was choosing that he needed to do this. I found also that so through that, I found that the film wasn't really preaching about sort of, you know, everyone needs to sort of have this radical, you know, individualism and break free from their lives. Yet at the same time, I found these characters needed to do that for where they were going through at this point in time in their lives, and that speaking to that, it also spoke very much clearly to me about the need for connectivity, you know, that it's not so much about breaking free, but also that the need to have a bond, to have a connection with another being.
Yeah.
And that felt really beautiful to me, you know. It felt very beautiful and unsentimental and very beautiful.
Yeah.
What was really fascinating making the journey as an actor is that, you know, it was very isolated here working. I mean, I'm working with a director who I have great admiration for, but doesn't speak very much English, with a crew who's primarily speaking primarily just French, and I'm acting with most people that are, you know, in New York and not actually there. So most of my work I'm doing by myself, surrounded by people whose primary language is another language. And in many ways, that was very helpful for me, for the character, and also for the, as the actor, because it put me in a very sort of, because normally in the U.S., you know, you hear everything and you pick up pieces of what the crew's saying while you're trying to sort of focus. Whereas here, I didn't really understand, so it allowed me to get into a more meditative place to focus on what I wanted to do in the scene and where I emotionally wanted to be in the scene. And so I found it very freeing. But at the same time, it was helpful because I was going feeling just as isolated in many respects as Gary was.
Yeah, it was like watching, I'm going to say, it was like watching the leading performance in an Antonioni film, actually, your performance. So I just wanted to get that out there. It was.
That's very cool.
It was kind of like that alienation. But you mentioned that, and you're right in saying that, there isn't much of a backstory, like, you know, at least it's not told in an obvious way. So what did you bring into it, into the performance in a personal way?
Mm-hmm. Well, what I struggle with is, you know, the hardest thing for me reading the script as an actor is like, how can someone leave their family like that? How can you do that? That was hard for me. You know, I talked to Pascal about it. It was hard because Josh, I have a very hard time with that. You know, I could see leaving a job, but so I found it interesting because on one level I had a lot of compassion for him because he's feeling this intense existential kind of deep crisis that he can't articulate necessarily, but knows that it feels through the panic attack, I think, shows him that it feels very much like he could die, like it's life or death if I don't make this decision. And the panic attack was interesting because I've never experienced them, but I have two friends that have, and so I talk to them quite a lot about what the feeling is like, and they say it feels as if you are dying.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if either of you have ever had that, but they say it feels like you are literally going to die. Mm-hmm. And I thought about, what would that feeling, what does that do to you? What scares you to an inch of your life and makes you really, in an instant, assess, you know, what am I doing? You know, am I who I want to be? And so, I don't know, I on one level, like, I didn't want to romanticize him. I have compassion and empathy for his character. My job is never to judge, but more to try to find, you know, the humanity in it and why he's doing it. But at the same time, if I was honest, I could very much see that, you know, he's also behaving in a very, you know, in a way that's very cruel, you know, and hurtful to people and around him. And, you know, and it happens sometimes. Yeah. People do it.
And actually, that leads me to my next question, because I'm very curious about one scene in particular that particularly stuck with me, and that's the Skype conversation. Because even in the way it's edited, and even in the way that it goes on, I mean, it's just so, like, you know, they're not there physically with each other, but it just goes on, and it seems like the more they talk, the less they're saying, you know.
How is
that scene shot? How did you perform it as an actor? What were the challenges of talking to a computer screen, basically?
Yeah, it was I knew going in that would be one of the hardest scenes to do. It was the only scene where I know Pascal felt very strongly that Radha Mitchell, who plays Gary's wife, Elizabeth, that she come to Paris so we could shoot that live, and she was in the studio next to me. So we were actually, you know, performing that live while it was happening. Everybody else I just talked on the phone to, someone on the phone. Yeah. But with that, you know, we needed that. We needed to be able to really look at each other. And I do, you know, the sequence, look, it is a sequence that goes through the whole night. I mean, if you see the light changing and you realize. And it was the hardest stuff for me to shoot on the film by far. It was towards the end of shooting. And yeah, it was very difficult.
Was it improvised kind of? Like,
no, it's all in the script. It's just we worked on it. We rehearsed it that week, you know, with Radha and Pascal and I, and really worked through the beats because, you know, there's all these different sections, and we really wanted to get. Yeah, you know, and I know it is quite a long sequence, but it's work that, you know, I'm proud of it, and we put a lot into it and left a lot You know, I don't feel like I left anything. You know, I just we went for it, and I think where it leads the character as you sort of leave that chapter of the film, sort of just for the first time, I mean, this sort of character who has to shut down because he wouldn't be able to make these decisions if he's not shutting down, to finally see that dam break in a few little moments when he's on the computer with her, but then when he's done, to really see the dam break. I found it, you know, to go to some very dark places as an actor, but I was very excited by it.
Yeah, but as far as the difference, because I always hear about like the difference between American filmmaking and European filmmaking is concerned. Did you notice it yourself in this project, that there was a difference in the way the film was constructed, but even in the way it was received here in Cannes, and like, you know, the sort of publicity around it, or the way it was received?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, the biggest difference I could tell you about making this film, I mean, this is my first experience making a European film, but the biggest difference between this and any film I've done in the U.S. by far, the hours on this film were much more humane, that I appreciate immensely. Yet, funny enough, it felt like we were doing the same amount of work, so that was very interesting to me. I mean, the hours were, compared to U.S. standards or television or film standards, very short, yet filled. So not a lot of time in between takes. I mean, maybe 5-10 minutes here and then right back and ready to go again. Days that were focused, committed, intense, filled with work, really, really, like, you know, dedicated hours, and take a lunch break and then more dedicated hours, and then you're done and you go home. And I really liked that. It kept my energy up. There was days where you're just feeling like I don't have anything left to give because I'm just 16 hours into this day. I'd never had one of those on the show. So that was remarkable to me, and I appreciated that.
Wow. Well, yeah. That's great.
Well, thank you very much, Josh Charles. We wish you all the best, and you're listening to Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.